Well, as I said, Rakatin has joined us on this snowy day, and he has been with us before. Justin's making me say this. He comes from the beautiful and wonderful Wellington, Ohio. And that was Justin's high school home. So but it is a very beautiful town if you've ever been there. And Rick attends the Wellington United Methodist Church there. He might look familiar to many of you because he is the district lay leader for the district churches, and he serves to help mobilize laity for ministry in all of our churches. So Rick is a small business owner in Wellington who makes market signs and printing material. He's been married to his wife, Linda, for 28 years, and they have four adult children, and he has brought a friend with him today to help out with the scripture. And so please join me in welcoming Rick Hatton and opening God's word for us. Yay.
Thank you, Luann. Oh, no, I've got those here for sure. Thank you. It's great to be with you again. I think that your pastor is a creature of habit because I was here about a year ago. I know it was near the Super Bowl because I preached on like a football theme. And so Justin is obviously a creature of habit. He must go every year at Super Bowl time. So if you guys want a sermon on baseball, you should send him on vacation in October. And then I'll preach a baseball theme. In any case, I want to give thanks for being here. And I want to introduce my friend, Jake Watson. Jake, turn around and say hi. Jake is my confirmand. He's a confirmation guy in our church, and so I'm his mentor. And I thought it'd be great if he came today. And he's going to be helping me out as he'll actually read the scripture for us today. So, but please join me in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we give you thanks for this time to be together in the midst of winter, that we come together and we are warm in your church, we're warm with the friendship and fellowship of one another, and we're warmed by your love and your word for us. Help us to hear your word and to understand this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Peggy Noonan is a journalist who used to be a speechwriter for President Reagan. And she's a columnist now, and she shares the following advice that she has for young people who are just beginning their careers. She says this: when I speak with young people beginning their careers, I often tell them that in spite of the apparent formidableness of adults all around them, their mastery of office systems, their professional accomplishments, their sheer ability to last. Okay, they seem like they really have it together, right? Especially to young people. Almost every day begins just trying to keep up their morale. Everyone's trying to be hopeful about themselves and the world. The people are more confused and even defeated by life than they often let on. Most have times when they feel they've lost the plot, they've lost the storyline. So, her advice, go forth with compassion. What do you think about that? You think she's right? Are most of the people that you know going through life filled with confidence and filled with assurance in their decisions and what's going on? Or are they doing the best that they can to get through every day? Doing the best they can. And oftentimes in the midst of concerns and fears and problems that sometimes seem insurmountable. And sometimes those are of our own making, I think we'd agree. But sometimes they're things that are just beyond our control. Friends, I'm not telling you something you don't know. Life is hard, isn't it? Life is hard. And it seems like it's getting harder in some ways. I've got four adult children, as Luann was kind enough to share with you, and I try to remind them that it takes great courage to live every day. Life is not for the timid. It takes great courage just to live every day. And sometimes we want to cry out to God and we say, you know, where are you? I need you. I need to see you. I need to hear from you. I need you right now. And how wonderful it would be just to have him stand in front of us once. Jesus, really. And just to be able to shake his hand or get a hug or see him in all his glory. Just once, right? Well, that's exactly what happened to three of his disciples one day. And Jake, if you'd come up and help me, Jake is going to read our scripture today.
Thank you. Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one was with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead.
What a story. Can you imagine how your life would change if just once you got to see Jesus face to face and you got to hear from him directly? It's going to be okay. I know exactly what you're going through. I've got this. And you might say, well, I believe that. You know, I'm a Christian. I believe all that. Well, so did the apostles. I mean, after all, these guys had seen all of his miracles. They'd seen him heal. They'd seen him, you know, bring people back from the dead. They'd seen him feed the 4,000 and the 7,000. In fact, Peter, just before this in chapter 8 in Mark, you know, Jesus says, hey, who do you say that I am? Peter says, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God, right? Jesus, they had faith, right? But sometimes is there a difference between believing and knowing? Sometimes there's a difference between believing and knowing. And Jesus chose, for some reason, he chose to reveal himself to them in a way that was glorious. Along with Moses, the lawgiver, and Elijah the prophet. And they heard God's voice saying, this is my beloved son, listen to him. Oh, if just once we could see that and hear that. I don't know about you, but I've prayed many times for that. Okay, I really have. I don't know about you, but so far I haven't got that prayer answered. He has not stood before me in white glory. Okay? But that doesn't mean he leaves us alone either. That doesn't mean he leaves us alone. What I do find is that God gives us little gifts of glory, I call them, okay, along the way. Some people call them coincidences. Some people may call them God incidences. They're those little things that happen that you say, coincidence? Man, I don't know. That's pretty coincidental. All right. It can be like a situation that comes together and fits perfectly when you were never expecting it, just out of nowhere. It could be a chance meeting with a person or a phone call from a person that you were just thinking about or praying for. It could be a piece of scripture that pops into your mind. You open the Bible and you go, I don't know where to start. And you go like there and you go, wham, it's exactly what you're going through today. Okay. Sometimes it's a word spoken by a friend. Just the word that you need to hear at a particular time. Or it's an answer to a prayer that you've prayed. Or maybe even it's one You just haven't had the courage to pray yet. It's just like rambling around in there. And it comes together. These little coincidences, I believe, are God's gifts of glory to us. They are little transfigurations. Now, they may not be as grand as what Peter and James and John saw, but they're just as glorious if we're willing. They're just as glorious. They're God's way of telling us, I'm here, I'm with you, I know what you're going through. I'm real. This is not, you didn't make this up in your head. I'm real. This is real, and I understand where you are. And it's going to be all right. I found a cartoon, actually, that I have. I have a coffee mug with this on it. I love this thing. It's one of my favorite things. And I found the cartoon. So I don't know if you can see what's going on there. You know, Herman the fish is being chased by these giant piranhas behind him. And he's probably scared for his life. And next thing he knows, there's this wall of water there. Lucky for him, Moses parted the Red Sea. How about it? But I love Herman because he's got spunk, doesn't he? He's looking through that wall of water and he's just sticking his tongue out at those big fish back there. Obviously, Herman does not know how the story ends. So I hope that he was smart enough to keep going after that. But I can give you, you know, also some examples from my own life. And the fact that I'm here today is one of them. So I mentioned to you, Jake is, I'm his mentor. He's my confirmand. We're going through confirmation lessons and we're studying together. One of the requirements is that we go to another church to, you know, see how other people worship. And actually, one of the lessons in the book is worship. Well, about 2-3 weeks ago, we're studying worship. We've got this, you know, responsibility to go to other churches. And Pastor Justin sends me this email and says, hey, would you like to come to my church and preach? Coincidence? I don't know. I don't think so. You know, I'll share another one with you. And I'm going to embarrass Jake a little bit. Sorry. You lose, buddy. So, you know, when you're working with youth, you always hope you're, you know, connecting and that kind of thing. So I sent him a text a couple weeks ago about him. I said, hey, Jake, Mr. H here. I'm looking forward to seeing you. Will you be in church or will be meeting after? Please bring your book and Bible to have them with you. See you soon. So Jake sends back a text. I'll be in church, and I have my Bible and book ready. Can't wait. That was a gift from God, I guarantee you. And anybody's worked with youth before, you understand, especially if you've had a confirmand. We need those, don't we? Like the song, the worship team. Oh, Lord, how I need you. Every hour I need you. Because life is hard. And we have to live a life that's filled with the Spirit. We have to be in the Spirit or we just kind of dry out and crumble up, right? And the essence of a spiritual life is not attending church, as good as that is. It's not being on a church committee, as good as that is. It's not even volunteering for a lot of good works, as good as those things are. The essence of a spiritual life is a conversation with God. And these little gifts from God are God's part of that conversation. They're like a cool drink of water on a road that can be very dry. And we've got to look for them. We've got to be out looking for them. And we've got to, when we see them, we have to decide, is that a coincidence or is that a love note from God? Is that God saying, I'm here? Or is it just something that happened? I think to a large extent, the difference between a believer and a non-believer is that believers just can't have that blessing of saying it's a love note from God. Oh, man, that's a dry road. And believers can say, oh, yeah, I'm just maybe as miserable as the folks next to me or the rest of the people I know going through life. But, God's there for me. God knows. I wouldn't trade that for anything. Let's take a little side note. Peter wanted to, what did he want to do? Does anybody catch that? What did he want to do? He wanted to build three shrines. I think that was a great idea. I think it was really huge of him. I really think that was a great idea. But apparently Jesus didn't think it was such a great idea, because not only doesn't he acknowledge it, he didn't even say a word about it, and he told them, don't mention anything about this to anybody. Why? You think, any idea why? Why might he have done that? You know, I'm not sure, but I have this theory. Maybe God wants us to want more than to have for a time. He wants us to want more than to have. If Peter had built those shrines, I wonder if they would have become like just a shrine by the side of the road. We just drive right by. Or a little card in your wallet, you know. Something that you get used to. Something you can hang on to. Put in a little box, this experience. That's not how the experience of God is. You can't hold on to it. You can't put it in a box. There's a poet, Wallace Stevens, a poet from the last century, who one time wrote this line, "Not to have is the beginning of desire." Not to have is the beginning of desire. In a book by that title, Jewish scholar Aviva Zornberg shares a line of ancient Jewish wisdom that speculates on this. Why? Why can't we see God? Why won't God let us hold him and hang on in a way that we can see and touch? And he speculates that because we lack God's immediate presence, our troubles drive us to search for him. So it goes like this. Our lacking makes us desire. Our desire causes us to search. Our searching causes us to listen. And our listening opens up to see glory that we would have missed because we're listening. And we'll experience a joy and a love that we would never experience except for the fact that we're listening and straining so hard. God's glory is all around us. I want to share a story from a friend of mine that had one of these experiences and changed his life. He's a very successful businessman. He's probably 60 years old or in that range. But 35 years ago, 40 years, he was not very successful. When he was just getting started in business, he had no money. He had rented a cheap warehouse in the bad part of town, and he was trying to build offices. And he didn't have enough money even to buy materials. So he's searching through the building, looking for scrap he can pull down from anywhere. And he's in this dark room, he can hardly see anything, and he's sort of feeling his way around, and all of a sudden, he feels something. And he doesn't know what it is, but it's something, and it's covered with dust, and he bashes off the dust, dusts off the dust, and he goes over to a window, and what is it? It's a Bible. In the middle of nowhere. It's a Gideon's Bible. He said, "When I saw that Bible, I knew I was in. Whatever this is, God, I'm in." Because he saw that God was saying, "I'm right there. You look for me, and I'm there." This is a picture of the very Bible. 35 years later, he keeps it in his desk drawer every day. That's the difference that it had, because when we have these experiences, they change us. They change us for good. They transform us. You probably have heard the song Battle Hymn of the Republic, right? Mine eyes have in the glory, right? The coming up, right? Okay, very familiar. We know the first verse. He's trampling in the vintage, out the vintage, where the grapes of wrath are stored, etc. Here's the fourth verse, though. You might have just sung right over. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that... Right. It's not Jesus that's transfigured. He's always full of glory. We're the ones that are transfigured. When you get close to that glory and you see that love note from God, we're the ones who are transfigured. Are the troubles of today clouding the little gifts that God has given us? I want to invite us all to drink anew that fresh cup of water. I want to invite us all to remember them, to desire them, to listen for them, and to allow yourself to be transfigured by them. Of course, there's a so that. It's a sermon, right? There's always a so that. Here's the thing. The grace of God is such that we are not only fit to be receivers of God's gift of glory, we are able to be carriers, to be givers of those little gifts of glory. It might be a secret financial gift that mysteriously you may get to somebody who's in need. It might be a card of encouragement, a word of sincere praise. Who knows what eternal blessing you might be able to be a part of? But it's not as unlikely as it seems, because the message of the gospel is that's what you and I were meant to be. Amen. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we give you thanks this day for the fact that you're constantly reaching out to us. And you're constantly pouring out your gifts of glory. We need them. We thank you for them. Help us to listen and to see them when they happen, to be filled with joy and love, and then to be able to live with power, live with strength, and to reflect that joy and that love to everyone in our world. So we ask in Jesus' name, and everyone said, Amen.